You can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 107. We're going to read a few verses there. And hopefully it'll bless everybody. But 107, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Everybody there? Verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his kindness, endureth forever. That verse right there could sustain us for the rest of our lives. His goodness endureth forever. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And that word redeemed, we know, is to just pluck out. He buys us back. He takes us back from the hand of the enemy. And it also means kin, next of kin. He makes us the next of kin. Like, you know, we already know we're in God's family, but we are God's family. He's going to take care of us because he loves us, because he wants us in his family, and we're in it already. So he's made us kin. I was hoping John was here because that's probably a word he uses a lot from being down south. Next to kin. But it's just a real comfort to know, like, his kindness endures forever, and he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And that enemy is with us all the time. But because we have God, he handles a lot of things for us. Some things we see and some things we don't see. Verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. So that's being lost. That's being lost and confused. But because we have God, things change. Verse 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of what?
Their distresses.
Their distresses. He delivered. He snatched them away. Without fail, that means, too, if Esau is right. He snatches them away without fail so that we're protected. He delivered them out of their distresses. And verse 8, we got to go to verse 8. Well, no, verse 7 first would be nice. And he led them forth by the way that they might go to a city of habitation. He led them forth out of the way so they could go into a city with people that would help each other. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Now, this word goodness is so good that I had to write it on a separate piece of paper. It just blew me away. I mean, I've read it before, but the definition is so intense to me. The goodness is in the widest sense. It's beautiful. It's best. It's better. It's bountiful and cheerful, and it helps to make you at ease. It gives you favor, glad, joyful, pleasant, prosperity, sweetness, and wealth. That's that word, goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, all that that entails, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then this is the wonderful verse here. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's what our God does for us. He wants us to be satisfied with him. And he's the one that does the satisfying. So however he does it, it's wonderful. That word satisfieth means to fill to satisfaction. Satisfied to the full. To the full. And that's what God does for his people. That look to him. And that's all we got to do is look to him. Keep looking him and expecting him to do things for us. Expecting him to satisfy us instead of the world. It's a great place to be in. And then that, you know, the things that he pulled us out of, the darkness, the affliction, the iron, it's a sad state to be in. It's the misery and destruction and sorrow, depression, trouble. It's not a good place to be. But when we turn to God, where he gets us out of it, he plucks us out of it with great ease. So that's a great place to be in. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, some other wonderful things here. And this is our Lord talking to us here. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 6. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted." In a comfort that only our Heavenly Father can give us. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that filled means to supply in abundance, to gorge out on God's wonderful fullness. And then it also means to be satisfied. So God wants us to be satisfied in what he has given us. And he gives us a lot. Quick jaunt over to Isaiah 58. Yes, ma'am. 5:8, as mom would probably say. 5:8? 58 verse 11. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." You there, Arlene? Did you get it?
No.
58:11? I just thought, what a great mind picture. Our God is going to guide us continually and satisfy our souls in drought. "And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden." What a great, wonderful picture. A garden that's watered is not all dried and shriveled up, right? It's beautiful and flourishing and just wonderful. "And like a spring of waters that fail not." So we're always going to be supplied by our God. We're always going to be satisfied in him. If you go to Psalm 90. Where is it? There it is. Psalm 90 and in verse 14. Well, this is a good one here. "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, thy kindness, that we may rejoice and be glad in our days." That's what our God wants for us. He wants to satisfy us with his kindness early, which means right when we get up or right when we need it. Whenever we need it, God is going to satisfy us with his wonderful goodness, his kindness, his mercy, and rejoice and be glad in our days. In Psalm 63, a few chapters over, Psalm 63, verses 5, we'll start. It says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." When you're satisfied with marrow and fatness, you can't help but praise with joyful lips. We can be joyful because God's taking care of everything for us. And this is good here. Verse 6, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee night in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." And it says, "My soul followeth." It clings to him. And that's what we are to do. We can cling unto God and receive all these wonderful, beautiful things. because thou hast been my help, we can be joyful in any situation, even when we're up against tribulations, sorrow, and anxiousness, we can still be joyful. Because God's taking care of us. And that joyful is a shout for joy. So we can shout for joy and be so happy about it. How about Jeremiah 31? Jeremiah 31, verse 25. It says here, I don't even know how to really say this word, but I'm going to try it. For I have satiated, is that right? Mm-hmm. The weary soul, you guys good? 25?
Oh, 25, sorry.
31, 25. It says, for I have satiated the weary soul and have replenished every sorrowful soul. That word satiated basically means satisfied to the full. For I have satiated the weary soul and have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. So, you know, talking about sleep before. If we want a peaceful, restful sleep, we can think on God. And God saturates our soul with His goodness, His kindness, His love. And then, I love that 26. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. So that's how you get a peaceful, wonderful, restful sleep. Back to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And in verse 10, another thing God did for His people, and He always wants to do for us. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will what? Fill it. So, as we keep going to God, we open up our mouths, and He's going to do what? Fill it. He's already filled us with His Spirit and His love and His goodness. And that fill it means filled to satisfaction. So He wants us satisfied. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, and we're going to start in verse 7. It says, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So we're included in that 1,000 generations. And He's done so much more for us. And one of the manifestations, it says He's given us His Spirit. So we are family through and through with Him. Now, if you jump down to verse 12, it says, Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, His word, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which He sware unto thy fathers. And He will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of the land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which He sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle, and the Lord will take away from them the all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate him thee. So basically what he's saying here, he's going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of us. And basically all we have to do is get to know him. Get to know him and what he wants for us, his wonderful people. And he takes care of us. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, towards the end, in verse 24. This is our God. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will what?
Do it.
And we only read a few things that God said he would do back in the Old Testament, and some things in the New Testament, but he wants to do, he's a faithful God that wants to do for his people. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, and we all know these verses. Verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you. Pick you up in due time. And then it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that care means the distractions. And like I always say, this world, it just gives us so many things to distract us away from God's word. And like Perry prayed, you know, about people who want to hold you up from believing God's word or speaking God's word. We don't have to fear them. We just have to do what God tells us to do and speak his word and love him and do what he would have us to do, and he'll continue to take care of us. He will keep us satisfied in everything in this wonderful book. Okay?